Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, the page Tav Kuf Yutas. Let's learn all those Lamuksa. Okay, we have to try to finish the Chai Adam so we can get into the art scroll books, get into some of the practical examples application. We need to have the background. So we're up to page Tav Kuf Yutas. We're up to Pan Tes. I believe Pan means example. Oifan. It's short for Oifan. Oifan means an example. I have to Google it. Pan Tes. Min Gimel Davar Shemakze Oisam Yidaitu Matres Am Yidaim Lizman At Sheyiyu Ruim Unu Oisim Lo Oisa Davar. There's a category of muksa where you take something and you deliberately set it aside and you make a statement. I will not, over my dead body, will I use this object for the next 3 months. This object has to develop. It has to sit here and do nothing. I will not touch it. You don't actually say it. Okay, I really went overboard over here. You don't actually make a statement. What it means over here is that you in your mind, it is so clear to you. Oh, he's going to give an example. You're not going to use this. If you don't, you have no examples, then the whole thing doesn't have any flavor. You're right. When it comes to muksa, it's all about having examples. You push it away with your two hands, lizman, ad sheyiyu ruim unu oisim, they're fit and they're pleasant. And at the time when Shabbos begins, and it's give an example of a moment, and it's now bein hashmoshes, at that moment in time, it's still not fit. It's still not yet ready for use. And it was pushed away from its ultimate use. Now, for example, all these just words without making any sense. V'zeo nikra, it's called in the Gemara, mutze dig roi garois, vitzi mukim, dried figs and raisins, grapes. Shemanichin liyam sham, you put on your roof to dry out. Now, this means as follows: you have fresh dates. I told you figs. Dates, right? Gregor's is dried. What is Gregor's? Dried.
Yeah, dried dates.
Dates or figs? I always mix them up. Dried figs. Gregor's? Figs. Right? Dried figs.
Yeah.
You have delicious figs dripping with honey. And you have grapes, a cluster of delicious grapes. So right now I can eat it. I can make a bar from eights. I can eat it. I can enjoy. No, I don't want to enjoy it. I want these things to produce dried fruit for the figs, the dried figs, and I want raisins. So what do? I put it up on the roof. It's a nice hot summer day. I go to the roof. I put it down on the roof and I go away. After about an hour or two, the figs sitting in the sweltering hot sun, 110 degrees on the roof, combined with the concrete, whatever you got up there on the roof, causes the figs and the grapes to become inedible. It's disgusting. Because once it begins to dry, once the process begins, the heat affects the grapes, the figs, it becomes moss. It's disgusting. So what do? I just threw it in the garbage, $20. No. Let it sit there for a week or two, 3 weeks. Let it just sit there for a period of time. And when it dries out entirely, it will once again become edible in a new form called dried figs. And the grapes will now become raisins. And we'll put in a little box that little lady there hanging up, holding on it. We'll put in a little box of raisins. And you know what? It'll now be worth $40. It'll be worth a lot more money. Until now, it was just regular grapes, regular figs. Now when it finished drying. So, but it takes time. It takes time. And once the process begins, it's irreversible. Once the process begins, you cannot eat it. It's not edible until it completes the process. So now it's towards the end of the process, and it's now Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemashos, which we read a little before. That's the key moment for Muksa. In Muksa, it all goes back to the moment of Bein HaShemashos. It's Bein HaShemashos, and right now it's not yet ready. It's not yet edible. And then Shabbos morning, it's a hot, sweltering day. Oh, now you can detect it has finally reached maturity. It's completely dry. It's now ready to eat. So I want to eat it. I want to go take the dried figs. I want to take the raisins off the roof and bring it down to my table. And you have it for dessert. Are you allowed to do so? No. Why not? Muksa. Why is it muksa? Because Bein HaShemashos, it was not fit for consumption. Not only was it not fit for consumption, I pushed it away. I put it on the roof as a statement. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to use it. It's in a much worse state than regular object of muksa, because it was put there for the purpose that it should not be used. That's called Groigrois Vitzibukin. The Teva Perusil is nature of these perush, Shemishosh, Shemaskin Las Yamish, Achshe Yispash Lagami, Hain Masrichin. They become disgusting. Vein Amurim Lachlom. Rechin, therefore, in Bein Ashmosh, Loho Yadai Nivashim, Avagav, the Beshabbos, Kar Nishyavshu Lagami, Shabbos, now it's fit, Osir. Another example. Vechin Beitzim, Shenichon Tachas Tarnagol, Sikvar Nishruchu. Same thing with an egg. You have a nice, freshly laid egg. So what can you do with the egg? You can make scrambled eggs. Or you won't eat it raw. You're a chazan. You want to gargle the egg and you want to use it. It's a good egg. No problem. What do? I put the egg under a chicken that it should sit upon it. It should fertilize it. It should turn into a... It should become fertilized. So how long does this process take? It takes time. So once the process begins, it's beyond the point of return. But it's not yet ready. So once I put the egg underneath the chicken, it's already, I'm setting it aside, and that's it. They've already become disgusting. So it's awesome. Now, if on Shabbos, I have a use for this egg, I want to use this egg as the perfect thing to hold up the table. Right? The table's a little wobbly. I'm going to put it under the table. You all know that an egg, Noah's, a not hard-boiled egg. Egg is the the points. If you can find the 2 points, the strength is, I don't know. It's very, very powerful. It's very, very strong. You can't use it for anything. You're not allowed to use it. Why? Because it's been muksa. I put it aside under the chicken in order that it should be fertilized.
How about something like a banana that's not ripe and you're waiting for it to be ripe?
So a banana that's not ripe is still edible. It's still edible. There's no doubt about it. Even the most unripe bananas that you purchase in the store, they're edible. So therefore, they're never muksa. Even though it's green,
just hard.
They're just hard. Even though it's green, so you can't say they're muksa. But if you hear anything over here with things which have been put aside away, where it's mamish are edible, and now things change. It's also egg as well. Once you put it away, v'yesham something that got muksa at the bottom time.
During the dried out process, while drying out,
right. And it's erev Shabbos ben Hashemashos. It's the last line, v'yesh something said the gam muksa the balei chayim who doymel lezeh. Muksa of Bali Chaim, the Gam Bazel, Lukuli Alma, have the Muksa of Ainboy Machlok is Klal. I guess what he means is, I'm not sure what he means, but I think he means a living animal. And we discussed Muksa before. Animals are Muksa. Cats, dogs, goldfish, you're not allowed to touch the metaltel animals on Shabbos. They are Muksa. So let's say for some, I think, I don't know what he means, let's say for some reason the animal has a use. So you would. What?
If you use it, it gives you good feelings.
Okay, but even though you can use it, but you're not allowed to touch it, you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to move it. I don't know.
I think when Moshe said a pet, you're allowed to eat it. But a pet, he says, we just learned that.
Yeah.
He says, you're allowed to rub it. It's a pet.
But you're not allowed to move it. You can touch it, but you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to move it. Move it. Okay, we have to discuss when we'll be here to Shem, when we get to the modern applications of halacha. It's very nogia to Bisman as a pet. That's very common today. Okay, what? Okay, we discussed it before. Okay, we discussed it. We have to go over that. Okay, we discussed it last time. Okay, I don't go again. We discussed it last time. And we'll Shem, we'll get back to it. We got modern practical applications. But pets are very relevant when it comes to laws of muksa. The general rule is a pet is muksa. There are exceptions, a seeing eye dog. Then there are, you know, today there's therapy. It's a very big thing today. Therapy. People go for therapy. They pet animals. They even have pictures in the paper. They brought into the in Maimonides. They brought in animals into the rehabilitation center for petting purposes. There's a lot of science on this. It's therapeutic. So let's say a person has a pet for therapy. Well, it's not muksa. I don't know. We have to see modern day shilas how it applies. Dalit. But let's get through the few more pages to get through just the basic principles. Dalit muksa machmas isser. Now we get to what's fun. This is probably the most relevant of all the halachas of muksa for us. An object that's muksa, machmas, is almost everything that we think is muksa today falls under this category. Okay, all electrical appliances. Okay, you start with your phone. Okay, who doesn't have a phone today? So a phone is a kli shemalachto el issa. Right, because why? Not because you say lashon hara. It's because the action of making a phone call and pressing the buttons of the phone call is an issa d'rabbanan. to press a button on a smartphone or on a cell phone. So therefore it's a kli, it's a utensil which serves a purpose, but it's used to do things which are usar on Shabbos. It's lying on the table. It's in my way. I want to eat on the table. Am I allowed to pick it up in a natural way and move it to the other side of the table? Or do I have to push it with my elbow? So it's a kli, shemalachta liyismas. Now, I told you, a kli. Then there are examples of objects which are not called keli. Let's see. Muksa, machmas iser nechlak l'shnei afanim. Machmas iser bi'atzmai, machmas iser melachtai. It itself is osur, or it's melacha, the labor, the lamed test melacha. So he explains, upon ho'echad. What does it mean, machmas atzmai? Kigon peris hanoi shrin, the fruit fell off the tree on Shabbos. So the fruit is noilal. You have to see more and more detail what it means when it fell off. It was plucked. Okay, so the fruit came about through an avera. This is an object whose existence came to being through a sin. Someone went and pulled the fruit off the tree. And avera, there was a sin, an isser, that was done in order to put this fruit on my table. The mailman delivered mail. He went from a Rosh Hashayachid into a Rosh Hasharabim. An avera was done in order for me to have in front of me this object. Fish, fresh fish, it was trapped. Trapping is usher on Shabbos. Afilu hayu hamitzudas perushos meir Shabbos. The traps were set before Shabbos. Ve'er yamtiv uchasham uchish uveshabbos nitzaydu me'alayin. It doesn't matter. Afilu im suffik im nitlash minitzah b'Shabbos yamtiv v'doshayu b'sevel shlamayim. Because even if you have a suffik, it's also with machmir. A malacha may have been done, and the only way that this object came to your benefit is because an aver was done. That's called mukma muksa machmas atzmai. So that's what we learned before. And so we focused on the idea generally with Amirul Nachri is that deriving benefit. Are you allowed to derive benefit from an object which came into existence through an avera? Now there's another issue. Let's assume you're not. Which you have to go through examples. Let's assume you're not. Okay, I'm not going to derive benefit, but can I move it? Okay, I'm not going to eat from the fruit. This fruit, someone went and pulled the fruit off the tree on Shabbos and brought it into my house. Okay, I'm not going to eat the fruit. It's no lie. I'm not going to eat the fruit because an avera was done. But is muksa? Our fruit is not muksa, but this particular fruit is muksa. Because since this fruit, you're not allowed to derive benefit because the only way this fruit came into existence is because the avera was done. This particular fruit is now, for you, muksa. That's called machmas iser. Next.
An apple falls off the tree?
Same thing. Apple falls off the tree onto your dining room table. So, can I eat it? No. It's no lot. Can I move it? No. In addition to it being also for benefit, it's also called muksa. Next halacha, next example. The dog shows himself with shalmayim. Shekvar who needs it. Nutolay hanochim in a seifel. Uvehim of oif shachtel lechol shiish beisakana. Okay, the other example of here was with a fish. Where the fish was in a barrel of water. That's also called tseida to a certain degree. Uvehim of oif shachtel lechol shiish beisakana. And an animal that was slaughtered for a chol shiish beisakana. So he's saying over here that it's also muksa. Let's have to see him further what he says. Let's say you have leftover oil in a ner. You have leftover oil in the ner. So when Shabbos began, that oil was muksa. It was meant to be consumed by the fire. And now the fire went out. So I want to go take the oil and use it for my own benefit. A binyan that collapsed on Shabbos. So before Shabbos began, it was impossible. It would have been soiser for me to take a brick. And now it collapsed. So now it's available. Even though the building is on the way of falling down, there's no iser deraisa of stira. The chol of shenechala b'Shabbos and milk, an animal was milked on Shabbos. I feel the sechadera sheyesh v'yachalim. The milk fell into a pot that has food. The also lachla b'Shabbos b'shem dosh. You're not allowed to milk an animal on Shabbos. It's called dosh. Ubeitzah shenolda b'Shabbos v'yamdiv. Gozer v'cham b'shem beitzah shenolda b'yamdiv achar Shabbos or Shabbos achar yamdiv. All the examples of eggs that are laid on Shabbos v'yamdiv. The ze also b'zeh b'shem achana. The chenkol kiyotz b'zeh shayi also ben hashmosh nachmas isra feel the rabbanon. Avagav she'achshav nisalik isra uchlizchuch. Glass that has sand hourglass. So now the glass is empty. And when Shabbos began, it was muksa because of the glass, because of the sand. An hourglass, two separate glasses, and the top glass had sand. So when Shabbos began, it was muksa because of the sand. Now when Shabbos, in the middle of Shabbos, there's no more sand left in the utensil. Uklisha roin batzel chama shos hayom, a clock. You see in the shade what the time is, a sundial. The domel lemedida, it's considered to be a measuring utensil, and now it broke. So you know it's not used anymore. Nearly the ein bichlal zema shakarin zega. So he goes on and says all those things are muksa. Okay, why? Because those things are all things that when Shabbos began, there was an avera taking place. Something happened on Shabbos which is forbidden, and the only reason why generally, even though I just ranted many things, something to be explained more, which I don't know the explanation. Some of these things, the only reason why these things have come to your benefit, have come in front of you, and now you would like to derive benefit, is because of Chilul Shabbos. An Isser of Shabbos has occurred in order for you to have this object in front of you. It's also to derive benefit, and it's also usher to move, because it's muksa machmas iser atzma. Okay, that's called muksa machmas iser atzma. Now he goes on a tangent, and he says that a watch is not muksa. Okay, a zeger, a sha'ain, the bezel ashach shomedida, there's no measurement. Afilu hutzach leida kama shos kol ayoim, al ayoim le'inyin kriya shema alimud. Even though using a watch, asking a very good question, why isn't the watch muksa? A watch is a kli shel medida, measurement. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to measure. So measuring time, to know what time is Shachris, Shkrishma. Mikol makom lo havi medida shel mitzvah. Even though you'll tell me, Measuring is for Kriya Shema. It's not a mitzvah. Medida atzma in a mitzvah. The measuring is not the mitzvah. Kriya Shema is the mitzvah. The measuring is only a hechsher. The yeshem. So therefore, we see over here that
even though
so he's saying it is muksa. It's not muksa. He first of all saying Kriya Shema but sel kama shosh al hayoyim. The doma le medida. It's that's also. But venerally, even though you have a clear special a sundial is muksa, but the aim bichlal zeh mashukarin zeger, the mezel hashach klal shum medida. That's not called medida. Measuring time he holds is not in the category. It's just an interesting idea, and a side idea. He holds is not called measuring. There is a halacha that you're not allowed to measure on Shabbos. So one can argue that telling time is called measuring. When you look at the watch, you're measuring time. So he says that's a mistake. That's not correct. That's not called measuring time. Just look at a watch and see what time it is. I guess you're not doing anything. It's happening by itself. The hands are moving by itself. That is not called a measurement of time.
A sundial,
no, because there you have to actually. I don't know how the sundials work. There are different types of sundials.
In the middle of the shear, is how many minutes is left?
Right.
So he's measuring.
That's not called measuring. Looking in your mind, making calculations in your mind how much time is left, that's not called measuring. That's just called looking. That's what he says. That's he's saying a very bichish. Right, he's saying over here a very interesting idea we don't think about. Why is looking at a watch called a measurement? It's not. To make a measure, you have to do something. It appears that a sundial needs to be set. When you measure the time on a sundial, there are different types of sundials. No? You have to calibrate it. Towards the sun, the shade. No, just. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know that. I don't know. He's making
me. You think a ruler would be usher?
Yes. Using a ruler is usher. Mamash usher, right. If you want to go measure your little vineser on Shabbos, that's an exception. You want to go measure the little vineser with the hadassim, some leaseful loaf, you want to go make that, and that's called a medida shel mitzvah. But generally, to make measurements, you want to go do a new bathroom, and you start talking about what you're going to do, all different things, you want to start making measurements, and using a tape measure, using that's mamash usher, you'll do medida shel mitzvah. And he's saying a chiddush, that when it comes to time, it's not called making that doing a maisa, it's permitted. Then he goes further, next, then he goes on the last one. He says over here, the Yeshem some said the gam beged shanes is also muksa. A beged shanes has no purpose, and that's called the muksa machmas iser. If I'm not allowed to use this garment is shanes, or let's say it's not even been checked for shanes, so you can't wear it because it's a chashas shanes, so it's muksa.
The
that stuff is.
It could be it's no shackles in there.
He's eating a chazaka, no?
I don't know exactly, but bottom one, can you wear this garment? Is there a shanes? Can you wear it? If you can't wear it, you're assuming there may be shanes. Okay, I'm not going to wear it. Can I move it on the rack? Can I move it over? Because I want to go get something else. He says, no.
Why not?
A beged shel shanes is muksa.
Period.
It's muksa machmas iser atzmai.
But you're not using it for this. You're not going to wear it. You're just going to.
That it doesn't matter. That's exactly the point of all of these things.
No,
exactly the point of this entire paragraph. Every example that he's given. I have an apple. What's wrong with an apple? It's a delicious apple. What's wrong with the apple? Because this apple, only reason why you have it on your dining room table is because this apple came to you through an avera. It fell off the tree. When it falls off the tree, that's a maisa of melacha. That's ketzira. So since a melacha was done on Shabbos, and through that melacha you now have the apple, so just like you're not allowed to derive benefit from the apple, you're now allowed to move the apple. The apple is muksa. All of these examples he's given over here, you have oil in a utensil, you have a ner. Ner, when Shabbos began, there was oil in the ner. Was at that moment in time, all that oil was meant to be consumed by the fire. So it was muksa, machmas, iser. Havara, lighting a fire on Shabbos is an avera. And that oil was designated for the Isra of Havara. Now a wind came, blew out the candle on Friday night. And now there's leftover olive oil. Oh, the dish calls for olive oil. So let's take some of the leftover olive oil in this container and use it for the dish. No, it's Muksa Machmas Isser Atzmai. When Shabbos began, it was set aside for an Avera. The Avera being Havara, fire. Now, things have changed. It doesn't make a difference. We follow the Zman of Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. So there's nothing you can possibly do with it.
In general, having shatnez at home is not Isur?
No. There's no prohibition to have in your home shatnez. As long as you have it marked that this is shatnez. If you don't have it marked as shatnez and someone may come to wear it, then there's a prohibition. Al tishkoin be'aholecha avla. You're not allowed to have in your home something which can lead to an avera. But if you put on the garment, this is shatnez, you put a label, certified 100% shatnez. Shatnez. Shatnez, this is a label, shatnez, then you're right, you're not allowed to leave it because you may come to wear it, it'll be shatnez. But if you know that it's shatnez, then there's no room in your house. Okay, now we go to, so this is the first category, keep in mind this idea, this principle, very powerful principle, muksa machmas isur atzmai. The object is inherently an object which, under all normal circumstances, would never be muksa. But in this particular instance, the only way that it came into existence is through an avera, through an iser, and this was done through Ben Hashmashos. And it was before Ben Hashmashos, it was in a different state, and an avera took place on Shabbos. It's forbidden to move machmas muksa atzmai.
How about like nail this tool? You can't move it out of the way.
So kalachar yad. Okay, we have to come to all of the. I told you, the problem with muksa is there's always a solution. There's always a solution for muksa. You can do it kalachar yad if you really need it. If it really bothers you,
on the floor,
you kick it.
Kick it.
What would you normally do during the week? Whatever you do during the week, do something different on Shabbos, and that would be permitted. That would be a permissible way to move muksa if you really need to move muksa.
That means I can open it on Shabbos if she opens it during the week.
Halacha base, pan base. Now we go to something that we'll move to. Pan base, machmas melachtoi. Kon kelem amyuchadim umlochosh osim shabbos. Kon mach teshes, v'rechayim, v'kurnos, a mortar. Things, grinders, things that you use to grind food. You're not on Shabbos allowed to go and grind food. Shukarin or shukarin hammer. I don't know what this is. A cornice means a hammer. Cornice is a hammer. Hammer is used for binyan, to knock nails into the wall. The kardoim shemavakin, it's a hatchet, an axe, a shabu, a morish or a shawl you dig with. Umachbedo shemachalim basabayas. A broom that you sweep the house. Now, a broom is Mizmana Zed, that's the only have to be okay because Mizmana Zed, it's mutter to sweep because our floors are smooth. By the time of Chazal, they had dirt floors, so when you sweep the floor, you're smoothing the floor, it's binyan. You're causing earth to be moved from one location, you're filling up holes and cavities in the ground. So sweeping the time of the Gemara was Mamish Shail of Isser Deraisa. Mizmana Zed, we don't have those type of floors. We have modern floors where there's no issue. And as long as you have a broom where the bristles are not going to be detached, which come out as every single broom today. So there's almost never a prohibition bizman hazeh of sweeping the floor on Shabbos. But talking about this, their brooms in those ancient times, shemichal was abayis v'shoifer u'menorah. What about a shoifer and a menorah? Apu shaloi hiligur olav oisai Shabbos, that they would use in ancient times a shoifer. There was a shoifer. A shoifer is a utensil malir. It's not a real iser. It's a chacham of ein malacha. But the bottom line is, you're not allowed to blow a shoifer on Shabbos, only on Rosh Hashanah. So during the year, a shoifer is a kli. Shemalachtoy leiser. I'm not allowed to use this kli to do what it's meant to do for. Or what about a ner? A ner, a receptacle to light a candle. Even though you're not using Shabbos, it's not muks ben hashmashos, so it was not lit. It doesn't matter. A ner is meant to, it's a kli that's normally used to light fire. It's a kli shemalachto l'iser. Aval ner, but a ner shaliko boy boys Shabbos. When that was on that Shabbos, also Tazal didn't bosses. Come on, that's even worse. That's a bosses. If it actually was lit when Shabbos began, like the leichter, the classic example is the leichter on your dining room table. So when Shabbos begins, you have muksa. What's the muksa? The fire. The fire is muksa, because the fire is itself an object of an avera. You're not allowed to light the fire on Shabbos. Everything from there on down is a bosses. The receptacle is a bosses. Then the branch of the candelabra is a bosses. The stem of the candelabra is a bosses. The tray underneath is a bosses. The table is a bosses. The house is a bosses. Okay, you're in a trailer. If you're in a trailer, you can't move the trailer because the whole trailer is a bosses to the nair. If you can RV, what?
The feet are non-basis.
The feet to the head, because the head is an avera. The head is thinking machshavas al avera, so the feet is a bosses to the head, so you can't move on Shabbos. No, we don't say such a thing. Next, so this is called the key.
Abba
shall be shbein shal. What?
Shofar b'shabbat v'dom kono.
No, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Only on Rosh Hashanah.
Abba
minim.
Yeah, lulav etrog.
When it's not on Shabbos, but when it's not Yom Tov, is a muksa? I don't know the answer. I don't know. Is a lulav and esrog muksa the Shabbos before Sukkot? I already bought my lulav and esrog, and I want to show my friend. I want to make him jealous. I want to show him that I can afford to buy a $300 esrog. Am I allowed to take it? And also, of course, no, to show most the silver. To show the silver esrog box. So he comes to the house. I want to show my beautiful esrog. Am I allowed to move it on the Shabbos Erev Sukkot? I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know the answer. We have to see.
I can't bring it on Shabbos.
So what? It's a fruit. It's a fruit. So you say it's maksa, it's mitzvah. It's set aside for a mitzvah. It's probably is muksa. I have a feeling that it is going to be muksa because it's set aside for a mitzvah. And this Shabbos, you have no purpose whatsoever. It's set aside for a mitzvah. So it's muksa machmas mitzvah. That I'm pretty sure it's muksa. So if you have Erev Sukkot, yeah, you have the Shabbos before Sukkot, or even two Shabbos before Sukkot, three Shabbos. If you have your Dalad meaning, they're all ready to go. You want to examine them, show it to someone, or move them out of the way. L'chayra, it would be forbidden to do so. It would
separate,
be
no problem. Separate.
What do you mean separate?
The Adas is not connected together.
It doesn't matter. It's set aside. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's set aside for a mitzvah. It doesn't matter. It's set aside. You want to use for besam to smell to make a bracha. Bari atze besamim.
Yeah.
So you want to send that with of these hadasim were set aside for your mitzvah, dalad minim, ben hashmashais, you cannot change the designation on Shabbos afternoon to make a bracha, bari atzei besamim, for your suda Shabbos. I know the Sfarim, they make bari atzei besamim very often. So you want to go take the hadas that was set aside for your lulav and go use it now for your suda Shabbos, l'chor you can't. Because if it was set aside ben hashmashais, the rule is, whatever is set aside ben hashmashais, it remains in that matzah until the remainder of Shabbos. Okay, let's go halacha. Halacha, halacha, hey. So if we just passed through probably the most relevant case, okay, we just went very quickly to that case, and that is a kli shemalachtai le'iser. You look around the room, basically everything that you own is a kli shemalachtai le'iser. Okay, the third because a kli shemalachtai le'iser. The microphone is a kli shemalachtai le'iser. Okay, the pen is a kli shemalachtai le'iser. Almost everything, your smartphone, your cell phone, is a kli shemalachtai le'iser. Almost everything that you have in existence is a kli shemalachtai le'iser. Okay, so we're dealing, so therefore, what is the halacha? So it's also, we're going to see later on, the rules are, it's mutter l'tzarech gufay u l'tzarech mekaymai. Good to see, it's hard to go, dismissed. Mazel tov.
Down there and say, who pays for the parking? $10 parking, who pays for it?
After you drink the
paper?
When you, after drinking the
tea. No, you can use it again. It's a klitsch l'achto l'heter. Food you can eat, you can drink and eat the entire day. Disposable? Just because you drive, even though it's disposable, but think about it, if you want to take another glass of another cup, would you use it a second time? You would.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You
that
would.
The question, the used to be the old paper cups in the machines, you couldn't use it even the first time.
Very good. So that's called graph, right. So that's called graph shell ray. So that's like eggshells. That's like nutshells. Nutshells. You go to a shalom zachar, and everyone's sitting away eating nuts, and the whole table's full of shells. It's muksa. Right, so how are they going to clean up the table? How are they going to clean up the table to eat the suda the next morning? It's muksa. The shells, No. So the answer, you don't need it. You can do it because that's a special exception to the rule that waste product that is a derivative of the achila has a special special exception called graf shel rei, which means the waste of a bedpan. It's disgusting, and it was produced as a natural occurrence of life. That you're allowed to move it away. You're allowed to move it away in an irregular way. That we'll get to later on. Okay, another category. Another category is klal. Another category is called a mitzvah. Muksa hey kamuksa machmas mitzvah. Noye sukkah. Okay, this is a very classic halacha. Everyone knows halacha. You have a nice sukkah. You put it up to decorate your sukkah. It's hanging on the sukkah. Food. Let's say you have a container of honey. People do these things. People have honey. They have pomegranates. They have all these different things that are hanging on the schach. There's shivas haminim. Nice sukkah are not Christmas decorations. That's a modern thing. Real nice sukkah is to hang up fruit. Hang up the shivas haminim. This is the real noye sukkah, and it falls down. Or even if it doesn't fall down, it's put up in a way where you can take it down from the schach without doing the malach of cutting or anything like that. It's in a case, so you can just put your hands and take out some grapes. Are you allowed to eat those grapes on sukkahs? No, because it was set aside for the mitzvah of noye sukkah. It's interesting that the ikar halacha, so the going off on a tangent, ikar halacha, I saw this recently, it made an impression upon me, ikar halacha of noy sukkah, of zekeli v'anveyu, is by noy sukkah. Why? Why do people decorate sukkahs? People decorate with these ridiculous decorations. Children, they make decorations. Everyone makes decorations. So why? We don't decorate we don't do other things like sukkah. The answer is, where do you learn this halacha of decoration beauty? Zekeli v'anveyu. This is my Ribbono Shel Olam, and I will beautify him. Chazal, so that pasuk in the Targum says, Zekeli v'anveyu, it means I will make for Hashem a bayis. Zekeli v'anveyu lashon nove. Nove means an abode. I will build for Hashem a beis hakneses, a beis hamedrash. I will build for Hashem a beis hamikdash. A sukkah is an example of Hashem's abode. Hakim lanu es sukkas David hanoifolas. The sukkah, we say in sukkah is an example of the base, is a minor base hamikdash. It's very interesting because we say a sukkas hanoifolas, it's the tzelut din hamnusa. So since the very same pasuk teaches us the mitzvah of noy sukkah, a mitzvah of beautification, and also teaches us the concept to build a dwelling for Hashem, therefore it's appropriate that in the dwelling that we build for Hashem, there should be beautification. That's why we have something called Noy Sukkah, something that you don't see by other mitzvahs. There's a special Indian of having a beautification of a sukkah, because the source for beautification is the same pasuk that tells us to build an abode for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so we hear. Also, you should beautify. Very good. So that's correct. So we should beautify the synagogues. That's right. And then people do. Look at this shul. Look how beautiful it is. Yeah. Okay. So there, it's a diras arai. So there, you do. You don't. It's not the same type of decorations. But Baruch Hashem, you see today that people spend enormous amounts of money to beautify the batei kinyanos, the batei midrashas. Take this shul as an example. I mean, how much money they put into the shul? How much they put in recently to go? Someone gave a lot of money to beautify this pesach neses.
How about if you're when you're hanging whatever you're hanging there, that's food. you're doing it for the express purpose of being able to eat it.
Also, then you're not doing it for noi. In Echadim, that's not cool. If you make a tanai, if you make a tanai, then it's not noi. You can't have both ways. It can't be one or the other. If it's noi sukkah, it's noi sukkah.
I mean.
If it's food, it's food. So here he says, a muksa.
Guests are coming and I'm going to use these grapes for the guests.
So then you write them, it's not noi sukkah. Don't go say, I was in the midst of noi sukkah. This is where I put the dessert. Here's a dessert that's not called noi sukkah. So let's finish up over here. We have here that's called noi sukkah. Oh, you have oil that dripped from a ner on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Since this oil was set aside for the midst of ner Shabbos, so over here he's saying that this oil before I thought he said it's muksmach mas isr atzmai. Over here he's saying another idea that all that's left over, all that drips. Okay, I'm not sure to find nuances why in both examples. But in any event, the idea is the same. It's set aside for a mitzvah. Oh, that before was the case where it was not la mitzvah. There it was just stama. You had a nerf and your bathroom nerf of oil. So there was not l'shem mitzvah. Here he's saying where the ner is l'shem, the mitzvah of ner Shabbos. You make a bracha. Sher kedushan b'mitzvahs van l'halad ner shal Shabbos. So this oil that is b'yuchud for a mitzvah. And now the candle goes out. So we have now leftover oil. I want to derive benefit from the oil. So besides the prohibition we said before that it's muksa machmas atzmai, there's another prohibition of muksa machmas mitzvah. And we don't get l'chol b'maisa. Because there are always going to be exceptions. Each category has its own unique exceptions. So if you're going to have an object, this is going to be the thing that we're going to come out to later on, when we go to the practical examples, is that if you're going to have an object that falls under multiple categories, sometimes you have an object which can be muksa machmas iser and muksa machmas mitzvah. So, and you want to be able to use it on Shabbos, you want to be able to talk to them in a normal way. So there's an exception that applies to the rule of muksa machmas mitzvah, but does not apply to the rule of muksa machmas iser. So then you're stuck. Because if your object falls under multiple categories, we do not say that one category supersedes, swallows up the other category, and will apply all the exempts to that category. We do not do so. But here, therefore, this halacha says the chiddush here applies even during the weekday. Muksa machmas mitzvah, even on the chol hamoyed sukkis, you're not allowed to derive benefit. So he says here quite a mouthful. A lot of you say this over here. He says, number one, keep in mind, the principle of muksa does not only mean movement. There's something called muksa, which means you can't derive benefit. That's a category of muksa. Then there's a category of muksa of movement. Muksa machmas mitzvah applies during the week. If you set aside fruit to be a decoration for your sukkah for the entire sukkahs, and now on sukkahs you change your mind, you want to go take the fruit and eat it on sukkahs, the cholamo, you're not allowed to. Since it was set aside for the entire sukkahs, it's as a decoration, it's muksa machmas mitzvah. You can't change that. You cannot change a designation over the entire sukkahs. So you can't eat it. You're not allowed to derive benefit because it's muksa. As far as moving it, I want to move the decoration from one side of the sukkah to the other side of the sukkah. That you can do. Because here's this principle. What?
When you're building the sukkah, can't you make it tonight?
Can you make it tonight? I don't know the rules of tonight when it comes to muksa. Maybe you can. We have to learn further. Maybe you can, maybe you cannot. I don't know. But let's say you did not. Let's say I have over here grapes, and I want these grapes to be designated as the decoration for the sukkah, for the entire sukkah. And you hang them up, and shein mitzvahs noi sukkah. And there's an inyan of noi sukkah. And now on cholman I want to eat it, you're not allowed to. Because muksa applies during the week as well. I'm allowed to move it? Yes. Because the new principle to keep in mind, the prohibition to move something only is Shabbos and Yom Tov. Zehu. Okay, we're going to stop here. Take a short break. What? What?
That thing that you've done with the sukkah, simple stir, the sukkah is over. I mean, the terrace is over. Can you eat it on the sukkah?
L'chor, yeah. I'm assuming you. Well, there's a shaila. No, so the last kedush parshas. We have to get into. We have to see. I don't know the answer. I don't know. We'll have to see further. All right, let's stop here. Take a short break, and then we'll learn a little bit about bar mitzvah. This week is a sugya in the parsha about the yigdalu hanorim. I want to talk about some interesting ideas about bar mitzvah. I came across here in the Devorah Kesef.
in Yom Tov, we cannot do it. If we can do tool or that thing in Olam Oed, in Yom Tov, we cannot make it tool. It's not like Shabbat.
On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to move it. But on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move. Why? You're not allowed to move. Don't worry about it. Just put it down. Don't worry about it.